Okay, folks, welcome to episode 6 of the Off Center Archers. I'm Anthony.
This is Stephanie.
And this week we're going to talk about some of the stuff that we swapped out on the bows, especially Stephanie's bow. And we basically found a new grip position that many of the archers that we were actually referencing last week in episode 5, a grip position that they use, which actually seems to make it even more stable than basically leaving your hand open, which I originally thought was probably the most relaxed position you could be in. So, all right. So, where do you want to start off here?
I thought we were going to start off with your bow.
All right. So, we're just... All right. My bow, basically...
He was kind of feeling left out.
Oh, it's feeling left out.
Yeah,
I know. My bow's been the same for like 3 weeks now. You know, since you jacked the sight that was supposed to go on mine.
Because I am better.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, my bow is a Bear Crux. It's at 70 pounds, so the limbs are completely locked down. I have the True Glow Rival FX 5-pin sight on it. The bolts are in the farthest back position, so it's the farthest out that the sight can actually go. I removed my whisker biscuit and installed the G5 C-Max drop-away arrow rest. And the stabilizer originally had was the True Tech Carbon Pro 8-inch stabilizer. That is now actually on your bow.
Mm-hmm.
And now my bow has the high-tech Eclipse 3D, just shy of 12 inches, like 11 and a half ounce.
Yeah.
So.
And you're still kind of tuning yours, though. You've had it on for, what, the past, like, 2 weeks, I think?
Well, mine's fine. I mean, the paper tuning's all done on it. It's just...
I know that you were, because we were using those new fletchings on the arrows.
Well, that's another part of this. Basically, we switched out all of our fletchings on the arrows. We went to the NAP
quick spins.
There we go.
He's having a senior moment today, folks.
God.
I don't know what's going on with him.
Fucking days. Anyway, we put the quick spins on the bow, and right away I noticed all of my arrows, because I shot all 5 of mine off just to see if it was consistent, and every single arrow was high right. So... I'm pretty sure they're right. These things do spin, like, much harder. And they don't drop as fast because they're spinning faster.
Right.
So, but once I got the adjustment done and got everything centered, you know, I had to raise my sight up a little bit to compensate. And then pull the sight a little bit to the right, probably like a millimeter. And it was back in... All 5 of the next arrows were in the bullseye.
Yeah, so, I mean, even though you got the same setup, you didn't change anything on the actual bow itself.
Right.
Even when you switch anything on your arrows, you're going to have to make some minor adjustments.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
To your bow to compensate how the arrows are going to fly.
Well, the good thing, too, is, I was worried about the fact that they were spinning so hard like that, that it was going to change going down the line. Maybe I was going to have an issue nonstop where they're always pulling to the right.
Mm.
But... there was no difference between 20 and 30. So it was just the initial 20 yards where the spin basically comes into play. That's where my pull to the right was coming from on all the arrows.
Yeah. Or if you have someone like me who had a problem with pulling left with the other arrows and we put these on, it just fixes my problem.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, if all your arrows pulled left, and now all of a sudden your arrows don't pull at all anymore.
Yeah, I gotta say, if you're one of the people who are pulling to the left naturally, just get these and it'll fix that. It'll fix that problem right up. Yeah, because all mine were, it was
all yours
left.
Were 2 inches left.
Yeah,
no matter how we did, you were kind of like always 2 inches left slightly.
But that's also me, you know, you go through your learning curve with the bow, and you make adjustments of holding it and technique, and, you know, I'm still going through that process, and every time we change something on it, I'm going through it again, because you have to get used to what you're doing and what you're using. So then, you know, I have something like this that pulls them to the right for me. It kind of, that's not the purpose behind them, but, you know, I'm not going to deny it.
The only thing I was... that kind of threw me off was, like I said, these with the new NAPs on there, the quick spins, the arrows don't seem to drop as fast.
Yeah, I do like
now,
that.
I still have the same shaft, same arrows I've been shooting for the last month and a half, same gold tip 100 grain heads. So nothing's changed.
You've been using the same arrows, but mine have changed because when we upped the poundage on my bow.
Right, but that was when we put the single pin on a month ago, so... You've been shooting the same arrows for the last month.
Yeah, but I don't think we've gone like two consecutive weeks with the same setup on my bow.
Yeah. No, yeah, we did. We had yours cut 3 weeks ago. Actually, we had yours cut a month ago when you went to when the first week you went to 52 pounds.
That's it?
Yes.
So I think your senior moment's coming this way.
Oh, is it?
You're rubbing off on me.
Good, sweet. It's about time.
Gotta push it back your way.
But you know, it does. I mean, they definitely spin like harder. Both of our groups were insanely tight. I mean, they were consistent. So, like, in my opinion, the whole thing it has on the packaging, you know, tighter groups because they spin harder. That's no bullshit.
Yeah, I think that the packaging was pretty dead on about that.
Yeah, yeah. If you don't yank the bow yourself or torque it, whichever reference you want to call it, they will break each other. Like, I broke, what, 2 knocks off arrows?
Yeah.
I got lucky. I didn't smash the arrows. Yeah. I just ripped the knocks off the back. So.
Now, at the range last week, I know you were shooting in the multiple target instead of the one.
Yes.
And, you know, you were kind of like jumping all over. I know you were still making adjustments to fit the changes on the arrows. But were you getting like, what's that word I'm looking for?
What, target anxiety?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No. That's where I realized something was up with the way they were shooting.
Okay.
Because I was just using the different ones because the first round I broke one knock off an arrow.
Right.
I'm like, all right, screw it. I'm going to use the 5 side and just aim for the ball's eyes on the different ones.
Mm.
And every single one was dead center, but an inch high.
And yeah, I noticed that you were going high with all of them.
I was going high on every single one. And then I finally got the adjustment where it was like, all right, 3 arrows in a row, all 3 center targets. I got a ball's eye on. Oh, well, actually, technically. It's not the center targets. I just happened to face the target in a diamond fashion where there was 3 lined up vertically.
Oh, yeah. It's still targets. Multi. It's not just a single target on the paper.
But once I got the vertical done, that was it. It was like 3 ball's eyes in a row. Right, then I turned the sheet around back to the single and said, all right, and started nailing that, and then it was fine.
Okay. Just out of curiosity.
Right. And then I moved it all the way back to the 30 and just 5 arrows in a row and a 3-inch group where the arrows were slapping each other.
Well, that was like your second round on the 30.
Yeah.
Because that first one, you were still high.
Yeah. Well, that was a thing too. Even with the distance change, just the 10 yards, because, well, you got to figure both of our sights are micro adjusted.
Yeah.
So you're always gauging everything off your first pin. So I figured, all right, you know, not thinking about it, that I thought the arrows were staying more vertical, longer. I figured, all right, I could adjust my first pin, which is my 20, get it recentered, and I should be fine. Well, I was wrong.
Mm.
My 20 was dead on. My 30 was still centered, but was high. So I had to actually move my second pin higher.
Okay.
Not by much, maybe a millimeter. And then it fixed the issue.
Yeah, but that millimeter can make a whole
difference. Well, yeah, a millimeter when your sight is 6.5 inches away from the riser. Yeah. It makes a lot of difference, so. All right, so now your bow. Your bow is the one that had the most changes. Actually, your bow had more than half the crap replaced.
You want to go with the rundown?
All right, you want me to do your rundown?
All right,
so you're still shooting your PSE Stinger X. It is on the performance mode right now. It's on pretty much the lowest poundage that we can get on that mode, which is 52 pounds. We took off the Archer's Choice
single pin
sight. You want to tell them why?
Yeah, so the single pin sight is a bitch to adjust. And I think I did mention this in episode number four.
Yeah, right, you might have, yes.
And
just to clarify, this way it is an update, which goes to why mainly we moved.
There's nothing wrong with the sight, and I'm sure if you're better at actually getting the adjustments, if you're better at making those minor adjustments with the style that it, I mean, it's like pushing the lever up or down, and not slamming it all the way up and saying, oh crap, I gotta like move it back. Guess where I gotta move it back.
Well, that's where the thing also comes into play. We got you the regular version of the Archer's Choice.
Right.
Now, if we would have gotten you like the Range Rover version that has the dial, the adjustments would have been significantly easier.
Right. Well, we're starting at a base where we're not spending a lot of money. We want to try it out. I do like the single pin where it's only looking at one pin. But, you know, since it's harder to adjust. So then you do your marks, and then if you mess up any of those marks, or if you have to change anything, then you have to, like, just white it out or put another sticker on the side just to be able to remake those marks. And then if you just need a minor adjustment and you push it up too high, you're like, shit, where did I have? You have to start over again.
Right.
And it's...
Well, also, your horizontal adjustment was the Allen key, which you didn't like.
No.
Which made it a pain in the butt to adjust it where...
Yeah. So, you know, the micro adjuster is so much better. It's mostly just the adjustments that I chose not to, that I wanted to switch it back to the multi-pins.
Right. So, right now, I installed...
Yeah.
The TrueGlow Micro Bright 5-pin sight. With the extendable and adjustable, removable, whichever way you want to call it, because it can do all of that, slide bar. And basically, that was nice, easy, quick swap, two bolts, it's on. I did my ghetto measurement using the counter as my corner levels and keeping it straight. And basically put your first pin where your 20 mark was on your old bow.
Hey,
or on your old sight.
You don't want to call it ghetto because it's the average person's not going to have all these nifty tools in their house.
Exactly.
Right off the bat. You're going to acquire these things as you go. So you use what you have.
Right. Now, what I did with yours, too, is because how I like to have my sights and everything lined up is I make the person go to full draw. And especially that this had the adjustable bar on it with the dovetail, it made my life so much easier when it came to doing this with you, was... Pull full draw, get to your anchor point, and look through, and I'm going to extend the sight out until you tell me the ring of your peep matches the ring of the sight.
You know, I think you had got it pretty much almost the first shot because it was
Hole off. I remember having you said no, I can see outside the ring, and I moved
it
one farther out.
Yeah, it was like right inside the ring. Right. Yeah, yeah.
I moved it one farther out, and you were like, okay, that's lined up, boom, I put the set screw in, done.
Yeah.
So that was for that sight. And also just to mention, we have the version of the Micro Bright that has 129 pin, which is your top fat pin. It has 219s and then 210s. So the farther out you go, the thinner the pin gets to block, remove the obstruction that you would normally have from, let's say, you know, all 29s or all 19s.
Well, if you got a fat pin, the farther you go out, the fat pin is going to be your whole target.
Right. But well, the point is at 50 yards, if you have a 0.19 pin, compared to what you have now, which is a 0.10 at 50 yards, you're removing half the thickness. So you have, half the obstruction, whatever. All right. We also, on yours, remove the whisker biscuit.
Yep.
You no longer have that. Right now, you now have the TrueGlow Updraft Arrow Rest.
This is like TrueGlow all day.
Yes, your bow is TrueGlow murdered out right now. Yeah. Yes. The Updraft version is the one that is limb-driven. It is not the cable-driven one. Just like my bow, I personally don't like cable-driven arrow rest. I prefer limb drives just because they're more consistent. And once your bow fires, your bow is what yanks that arrow rest out of the way. It's not, you don't have to worry about cables vibrating, cables twitching, nothing moving. It's once those limbs are extended, it's done. So...
And then it's the stabilizer.
And then last was your stabilizer, which was my old stabilizer.
Yeah,
which
so is I just acquired it off of your bow, basically. And that stabilizer, that's pretty, like, my feeling on that stabilizer is pretty short. I mean, we messed the weight a little bit, but that full weight of that stabilizer.
The 3 ounces on the
end, yeah. That is working out pretty well. I thought it'd be too much weight for me. We took, it has basically three weights that you can, basically they're removable. And, at first I thought that, you know, the extra weight was kind of throwing me off. But honestly, we left the full weight of it.
Well, we did toy with it a couple of rounds.
You messed with it. It's so easy. Honestly, the stabilizer is really easy just to remove the weight.
Right, yeah. It's 1 ounce.
You unscrew the front. You take the one plate off. It looks like the plates you put on like a barbell.
Except very tiny.
Yeah.
1 ounce versions. Not 45-pound plates, but they're 1 ounce versions.
Obviously. I should be pretty jacked if I can hold that with one arm.
Yeah, really.
And shoot my stick with my bow and hit bullseye.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. That stabilizer, I have to say, by True Glow is pretty good. I have no issues with it. I don't plan on switching it out anytime soon, honestly.
Yeah, well, it works good. I mean, compared to your dart.
Yeah. I acquired it. I like it. It's suiting me pretty well.
Good.
Right, so that one right there is.
Well, it was one, just one of the ones we wanted to try out. Like, I still eventually want to try out that Trophy Ridge one, that 9-inch.
Yeah.
I can't remember the damn name of it.
You can.
Razor, I think it was called.
Yeah, you can. But I think that's one of the things I'm going to keep for a little while.
Okay.
But my, going to my drop away, I know on mine compared to yours was that little insert that the arrow rests on.
Yes, yes. That's where yours has that. It, in my opinion, yes, I have the, you know, the so-called $130 arrow rest compared to yours that retails for just over, just slightly over half of what mine retails for. Mm. Granted, we didn't pay anywhere near what they retail for. Very good at finding deals.
eBay.
Yours Amazon. Has the one advantage to mine because I could see mine in time. I'm going to wear the arm out of it. Just from firing arrows off of it. I still have to find out. Yes, you know, there might be a replacement insert for mine, but as of right now, I haven't seen any.
Right.
And I can see my arrows are already starting to groove the arrow rest.
Which is not good.
Whereas yours, the updraft, has replaceable inserts. So if yours starts to wear, we just pop the tab out and slap another one in there.
Which is good.
Yeah, which is absolutely fantastic, in my opinion.
Now, how many did it come with? I forget. Was it
5?
Was it 5?
It came with 5. They're various colors because they want you to match your bow, whatever. So, but I really don't think it's going to matter
what the color. Dude's not going to see what color I'm shooting.
Yeah, no, they're not. No. No, they shouldn't, at least.
And he shouldn't be alive to go tell his buddies that my bow didn't match.
gonna have you a metrosexual deer who's worried about the color of your bow and the accessories. So,
that was so horrible.
Oh, I know, it was lame. I don't know.
I couldn't let that go.
But, so that's all the swaps done to yours. So you have your new site. So what's your opinion on your new site?
I like it, honestly. You know, I'm really, I was leaning toward the single pin. And, you know, the single pin compared to multi-pin, you are looking through less in your main vision. I mean, you don't have all these other pins, which I guess after time you learn to like kind of tune them out, especially mm-hmm. if you're only focused on one of them.
Right.
It's kind of like that tunnel vision. You kind of tune everything else around you out. But, you know, I probably will go back to a single pin.
Right.
Not... Right away, I'm going to keep that one on for a little bit. There's a couple that we're looking at. We're not going to say them just yet, but there's a couple single pins that are a little bit more pricey that if we find a good deal, then we'll switch it out. But I think for now, I'm going to go back to the multi-pin. Just get used to it, honestly. And the smaller, the farther out, and the smaller, so it's not as bad.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. What do you think about the different size pins?
You know, it's not...
Because we did set your bow up with a 10-yard pin, a 20-yard pin, and a 30-yard.
No, we didn't get up to the 30-yard.
Well, we didn't get to the 30,
because,
but it's going to be.
You know, we... that's another thing we also did with mine. We put all this stuff on and we were paper tuning.
Yes. Yep.
And that's a big thing. If you switch from the whisker biscuit to the drop away, you want a paper tune. And
I think even with the whisker biscuit, some people should paper tune because...
It's good to learn.
It's good to learn, and it's good to know it, because if you notice, like, I'm shooting at 10 yards, and I'm dead center, I shoot at 20, I'm to the left, I'm shooting 30, I'm even farther to the left, your whisker biscuit's not straight. So, it's a good idea with any arrow rest you put on your bow, just paper tune it real quick.
Yeah, it's good to learn, it's good to know how to do it.
Right.
So then if you ever need to do it with anything else, you're like, okay, I already know what adjustments I need to do with what is appearing, like what the hole looks like on the paper when you shoot it.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
One piece of advice, and I know Anthony will agree with me. So if you have your piece of paper and you're shooting your arrow through it, and you shoot one hole, do not shoot through the same hole with the next arrow. I don't know if it's because when you're aiming at something and you got bullseye, right? You have that X you're aiming at and you want to keep aiming for the same spot. So I don't know if it was a natural tendency.
Oh, is this you attempting to try and make logic of why you just kept going, I'm going to shoot through the fucking hole.
I was totally defeating the purpose of this because, yeah.
And it was great because after she would shoot it, she would look at me and I would just look at her like, really? Did you just shoot through the same damn hole? And she would start giggling.
You know, and...
And what did she do with the third one? Shoots it through the same damn hole.
No, it was slightly over.
Yeah,
but
it was slightly over. Just made the hole like Pac-Man just ran through the freaking piece of paper.
Yeah, so try to maybe aim like to the other side of the paper. It just... Natural tendency was, hey, I need to go in the same spot.
It's not a gun.
I know. So that's just like kind of a little side note, a side tip for anyone out there. You can have a little chuckle when you do it yourself. Because, you know what? Some of the people out there are going to be like, that doesn't make any sense. Why would you shoot to the same? But you know what? Get that paper up there, shoot it, and then do the same thing, and then laugh to yourself about it because you just did the same thing I did.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, when it came to, like, for me installing it, the install is actually very, very simple. It's not hard. Mm-mm. Very simple. It's very adjustable.
It's the micro adjust.
No, that's your sight.
Yeah.
Not your arrow rest.
True.
Wrong one.
Yeah, but you know what? You, Mr. Senior over there, we were talking about my sight, how I liked my sight. We dropped in the paper tuning, and then you...
Oh, yeah. How the hell did we get to the arrow rest? All right,
You went to the Arrow West. It's a senior moment. It's senior day. If you have AARP, he's the president right now.
Right.
So, back to my sight.
Okay, back to the sight, okay. Yes. So you like the difference in the size of the pins.
I like the difference. It's micro-adjust.
Yes, and that made you very happy.
Yeah. The micro-adjust is really easy. Even though, honestly, like while we were paper tuning and you were making adjustments... And then we moved from that to the actual target. You, I think, were really doing more of the adjusting than I was. Because you were focused on trying...
Yeah, but it was so fast. I mean, it wasn't like I have to get the Allen keys.
That's my point, though. It was, you just, let me just do this real quick. And then, you know, it takes 2 seconds to do, and you don't need the extra tools. Whereas, for example...
The Allen keys was like a 5-minute process every time I kept moving something.
Not even that. There was two other individuals that came into the range after us. Well, not after us.
During.
We were already there, so they came in as we were shooting already. And, you know, the guy had, I don't remember what sight he had on his.
It was a True Glow, but it was like one of the $30
But
sights.
He needed an Allen key.
Yes.
To actually adjust his sight. And that's what he was there for because he had a problem that he has to fix with his sight.
Yeah.
From what I recall. So he didn't have an Allen key set. Well, you know, if you don't have an Allen key set, then how the hell are you going to do anything with your bow at the range?
He was also a new shooter. He was brand new to shooting.
But that's my point. If you have your micro-adjust, you don't need your Allen key set.
Well, you do eventually need the Allen key to move at post first pin.
We're on the topic of adjustments.
Yes, you still needed to move your pins.
You're not really helping my cause right now.
You're well, really once not. You have to use the micro adjust for your initial pin.
Yeah, it's good. Okay.
It's great to have. I mean, it makes the initial setup
you
so
need
fast.
It. You still need it. Put it in your bow case. It stays in your bow case. You know, that's one of those things that you carry with you. But my point was that he stomped all over it. I think he's just mad because I'm calling out the AARP day. Is that the micro adjust, it makes it easier without the extra tools.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
By far.
Okay. Point made. End.
But we got your first and second pin completely done.
Yeah.
Which was your 10 and your 20. So your 10 yards was a 29 pin, your second yards was a 19, your 30 is going to be a 19.
Yeah. And we didn't make it too far out just because of the fact of by the time we got paper tuning done and the 10 done, and I stayed on the 10 just to make sure that everything was set up right, and then I moved to the 20. And honestly, by that point, after everything was said and done, when I start feeling like I'm starting to get tired, You know, I don't try and push it and start kind of shooting all over the place.
Right. Well, that's a good idea. You have to know when to stop.
Yeah.
I mean, but so, yeah, you had like, what, four rounds or so while just paper tuning.
Yeah.
And it was probably about another 10 rounds of just free shooting between 10 and 20 yards.
Yeah. If not more.
Right.
Honestly.
So you still, you really think about it, you still let off almost 100 arrows.
Yeah.
So.
And now, the marks that we were seeing on the fletchings, was that actually from the felt?
Yes.
We'll explain
this. Yes, yes. All right. In the kit, when you buy it, it comes with a piece of stick-on felt, and you're supposed to put the felt on the riser, and it's supposed to help basically with any, like a dampener for when the arrow's sitting on the bow before you pull back. This way you don't hear the dinging noise, whatever. Well, we're shooting it, and I'm seeing black marks on the fletchings. And at first, I thought, oh, man, you know, it's hitting the arrow rest. I'm checking the placement of the arm, and I can't figure it out. I'm like, well, what the hell is going on? The arrow's fletchings are not hitting the arm. They're not. There's no way. They're clearing, no problems. So, and I'm noticing, like, I could wipe the black right off them. I'm like, okay. And then I'm looking, and I see perfect lines in the felt. Or in a stick down, whatever it is. It's like a spongy type of stick down material. And sure as hell, it was the fact that the arrows were running right across it.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay. You know, I ripped it off your bow, whatever. It's going to be a little bit louder. But once that was done, that was it. There was no more contact, and you were just, this thing was throwing frozen ropes.
Yeah, so if you see any marks on the fletchings, like,
investigate what it is.
Yeah, rub marks. You want to kind of look around to see what's going on.
Right.
You know, that would be very cool if, this is just a thought for any geeks out there, if on the, I don't even know if this is possible because I'm just really anti-computer technology, anything. I'm horrible with it.
Yeah.
So if on the string of the bow, right under your D-loop, if you can actually mount this, like, pint-sized camera that could actually, when you let go, you can go back, like, you can send it to, let's just say, your phone or computer, and you can slow it down to the point where you could get still shots of it going through whatever rest you have. Mm-hmm. So in that case, you'd see, like, where the fletchings are hitting your bow.
Yeah, it's called, you get a high-speed camera. They make camera mounts.
Not that small, though.
You could probably do it without, well,
but you'd have, like, a point of view of actually, like, sitting but right behind the arrow. So you'd be, like, you know, like Ant-Man flying.
Oh, Jesus.
Right under the arrow.
See, yeah, we watched Captain America Civil War the other day, and, you know, Arrow Guy or Hawkeye, as, you know, Ant-Man calls him Arrow Guy. But
that's a pretty cool. Well, I think that's a pretty cool idea.
Oh yeah, no, that would be a great idea.
But maybe someone who's severely into technology is like, look at this dum-dum. This Dodo with her dumb thoughts.
All right, so we covered your site.
Yeah. So I'm gonna stay with that site. I like it so far. I've been doing really good groupings with it.
Right, and we're gonna see if we can find some place that we could shoot outdoors.
Yes, to get to 40, 50,
and 60. Yes, yes, I'm going to talk to him. My coworker has a substantial amount of land, so I'm going to see if he'll let me go to his field and get some of my targets done here. All right, so your arrow rest. We took off the whisker biscuit, and we put your TrueGlow updraft on it.
Yeah.
Install-wise, it was easy. I mean, 5 minutes, I had this thing on. One thing I will recommend, since it does have to be paper tuned, when you watch like the install video that's on YouTube from TrueGlow, they're like, you know, once you're done, leave only like an inch on the end of the cable or on the cord that this way you have some room to adjust it. Do yourself a favor, leave like 3 or 4 inches. Because when you're trying to loosen it, when you paper tune this thing and you have to move the arrow rest vertically and that string gets super, super tight, you're going to have to loosen the screw that's holding the cable to the limb. So do yourself a favor, leave a couple of inches on it, you know, tie it off, whatever you have to do. This way, when you're done with your adjustment, then cut it. Then cut it to that 1 inch mark. Because if you don't do it before then, you're just going to create headaches for yourself. As for paper tuning it, it was pretty much, like I said, it was pretty much on the money. It only took me about 5 rounds of her shooting in order to get the adjustment right. And then once I figured out by the 3rd round, because I kept having the issue where the arrows were always hitting flesh side high. So the arrows were all pointing down into the target. And that's when we found, okay, it's got the black stripes. Figured out what the black stripes are being caused by the bottom fletch hitting the felt. Mm-hmm. Removed the felt. And the problem was gone. Then once the problem was gone, I think I had 2 minor adjustments after your next 2 rounds, and that was it. I mean, she was throwing bullet holes through paper. So install and tuning, not horrible. It's going to depend on the bow that you get for the actual mounting bolt location compared to where you might actually be able to use that felt. On your bow, as of right now, we can't use it. It's causing an obstruction. Maybe I can get a thinner piece of felt to go to Home Depot. They got the real super, super thin one.
But I don't see any need for it as of this point.
Well, as for us target shooting, it's going to be when we're in the woods and the arrow's dinging around.
Yeah, but that's going to be... I might be on a completely different setup by then.
Well, yeah, it'll be next year.
Even though
year.
I'm trying to convince you to go out hunting this season.
Well, we'd have to do a lot of paperwork. Anyway, let's skip that. Try to throw me under the bus here. All right. How do you feel like, since we have our notes here, how do you feel about the accuracy compared to your Whisker Biscuit?
You know what? I've only been out with a day, like out with it for a day.
Right.
One session at the range. So, I mean, it's really, I was more accurate with this setup.
Yeah, grouping wise. I would with grouping, compare grouping wise.
So... You know, there was times that I had really, really good days with my Whisker Biscuit that my grouping was tight. And then I had crappy days where I kind of just wanted to throw shit because just nothing was going right.
Right.
But this, I mean, you know, one for one, so far I've had one good day. So I really can't, from my standpoint, I can't say one's better than the other one. I haven't been using it long enough. To give it an honest, like, it's so much better, or no, it's
see,
not
in my
really
opinion,
any
from just watching you shoot,
right?
I would say your groups are better with this.
Yeah, but I mean, honestly, though, it's only been one session.
It's been one day, but like, if you were to go like your best day on your Whisker Biscuit to your first session with this thing, you're doing better on your first session with this thing than you did on your best day with the Whisker Biscuit.
True.
For me, I see the accuracy difference, you know.
Mm.
But we'll see. We'll elaborate more on that when we shooting on it more.
Yeah, and hopefully, if we can get an outdoor setup right now, we'll go beyond 30 yards probably to like maybe 40.
Yeah.
40 or 50.
Well, your bow's gonna max out at 50.
Yeah, but I mean, in all reality, you know, in a hunting situation.
Oh, you're going to want to be 30 yards or less.
Yeah, you really don't... I don't see myself really trying to make a shot from a farther distance away. Just for the fact that I don't want to have a higher chance of screwing the shot up and just hurting the animal. Whereas I could just try and get closer and know 100% it's going to be a good shot.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So, probably 40, 50 yards. That's when we'll pick up a rangefinder. That'll be a whole nother topic of looking at rangefinders.
Oh, I know. There's a lot of them out there, and they vary heavily in price.
Yeah, and honestly, because I know we do a lot of shopping around, finding deals. So far, we really haven't found one that's lowest in price that doesn't need a lot amount of work. I know you were saying the couple that you saw.
Oh, I found a couple of them on eBay, and it's like, not currently working. It has to be sent out for service. And half the time when you send something out for service, it would cost you more to have it fixed than it's going to cost you to, you know, you may have to put like $30 or $40 out more to get a brand new one, so.
Yeah, so that might be, there's gonna probably be a few things out there that you really can't budget on, whereas buying new is gonna be the way to go. You're not gonna be able to get around it. So then you'll just be going to the style and which one has which features that you don't really need right now, or if you want to start out with a more basic one. But we'll get into that when we actually go and buy one. Because I know they vary in price from, like, I think it was $100 to $400.
Yeah, $100 to $500, $100 to, well, it depends on what, like, there's some that are made for rifles that are 700 yards.
Yeah, you don't need something that far.
No, not for what we're going to be doing now.
Unless you go hunting with both a bow and a gun.
Well, your average rangefinder does 500. Unless, but there's some of them.
A sniper rifle to, like, go.
Well, some guys do that. I mean,
and that's kind of, I don't know, that's just cheating in my, I don't know. I know people are going to be disagreeing with me on that one.
Well, we like bows more.
But if
than
you have
guns,
a scope. So. And you're sniping, that's just cheating. I don't know. I'm going to stay away from that topic.
All right. What about noise? Do you think it's loud or you think it's quiet?
No, I think it's quiet still.
Yeah, I agree. Yours is quiet.
But see, you've been shooting for longer than I have. So you're going to be able to tell the difference between
that
little...
Well, I can hear the arrow smashing its way through the whisker biscuit.
Yeah, see, I can't.
Right.
Because I'm not, my hearing is not adjusted to pick up on certain things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm still trying to concentrate on other things that I have to fine tune.
Right.
That the noise, and especially right now that we're not in the middle of the woods, I don't have to worry about noise because we're still fine tuning everything else. That I don't even look at it. Well, look, I don't even listen to that.
Right.
So...
Well, my opinion was, I mean, it's quiet. I mean, compared to a whisker biscuit, the thing is quiet. You hear no slapping noise when it drops. I mean, it's doing its job. It's quiet. As of right now, you appear to be much more accurate with this new arrow rest compared to a whisker biscuit, which, you know, granted has travel room for the arrow to move around in. You know, we mentioned the fact that we, you know, both of us like the fact that the center insert's changeable, because if it starts to wear, you slap a new one in it, done.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't have to actually go out and...
change the entire rest.
Yeah, which is definitely a big help to your wallet.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, especially if you don't have all that extra money just laying around.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, getting back to what you actually said in the beginning... about hand placement, because we're touching up on the whole subject of accuracy.
Right.
And I had been pulling left. Pulling right. Left, pulling left, pulling left. I was working on my hand grip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've been working on your grip for like the last 2 weeks, because you had, in the beginning, you were death gripping the living hell out of the
bow. Yeah, because, you know, when the bow pulls and you can see that you're hitting left, you know, my natural tendency, and I know there's probably other people out there like this, is you want to try and control it. So, okay, I'm going left, so I need to try and make sure that bow does not go left. So you're fighting it.
Right.
And I know I had a tendency that I was fighting with the bow.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, you know, we got me to the point where that hand was sitting more loose.
Yes, it was much more loose, and then you became much more accurate.
Yeah, then my accuracy went, you know, up a lot, because I wasn't trying to force the bow to go in a direction that...
Yeah, you were letting the bow actually do its job.
Yeah. So, we moved to this other hand placement, and we did this at the range. This is actually the first time that I used it.
Right.
And do you want to describe this? Because I think I might butcher...
Basically, your palm is still in the same position. You still want the arrow's grip area on the, if you're right-handed, so you have your left hand.
The thumb side of your lifeline.
You want it on the thumb side of your lifeline. Now, I was originally trying to get her to do to stop death gripping the bow was basically leave her hand open. And it did. It helped tremendously. I got you to seat the bow before you pulled it back. This way, the bow is already in the right spot, let you leave your hand open.
Mm-hmm.
And this way, you know, you had a more relaxed feel on your left arm. Right. And it wasn't trying to force the bow in any direction. Your sway slowed down drastically. And that worked.
And I didn't start to shake when I got exhausted.
Right, yeah.
Because my muscles weren't trying to lock up.
10 seconds, you weren't shaking like crazy.
Yeah.
So that began to work. So this week, I wanted to try something different with her. Where you basically curl your fingers, but not as to wrap like your hand where you're going to close a fist. It's almost like if you were to hold a guitar and put all your fingers on the thinnest E string, the sixth string. But you're not putting any pressure. So basically what you're doing is you're curling your fingers and your fingertips are just touching the very center of your riser. So they're just sitting there. So your hand is still loose, but you got the bow's grip is actually already seated before you pull back. You put your fingers on the very center of the riser, and when you pull back, you just basically loosen your fingers. It's basically the same grip, except in my mind, it keeps your wrist actually more centered because your hands naturally want to curve, not stay with your fingers pointed straight out. But in order for me to break her habit of death gripping the bow, I had to make her literally open her hand. So now we switch to this other grip because now she has more of the hand control and everything like that. So I said, all right, here, this is what I want you to try this week. I still want you to place the bow in the correct spot on the right side of your lifeline.
Thumb side.
On your thumb side of your lifeline. Yes, it's a lot easier to
describe it. Depends on how you look at your hands.
Because if you're righty and lefty, if I say on your thumb side of your lifeline, then it'll make sense for either hand.
But then if you're facing away from your palm, then it's on one side. If you're facing towards your palm looking at your lifeline, then it's going to be on the other side.
Now you're trying to confuse people. Jesus.
So your thumb side.
So your thumb side of your lifeline. So that's where you want the bow to sit. You want yourself set up before you even pull. So once I got her to do that, I said, here, this is what I want you to try. I want you to curve your fingers like they would naturally curve and just touch the riser in the center. Mm-hmm. And I pulled up a picture, I think, of Cam.
Yeah.
And I said, look, this is what I'm talking about. This is the exact grip I'm talking about. Thumb is nice and loose. Bow is in the correct position on your palm. And you see how the fingers are right there? That's what I want you to do. No pressure. And she said, okay. And she tried it. And
I have to say that it worked out a lot better. It felt like it kept me honest. It felt...
Well, put the natural curve of your hand back in place, too.
Well, honest in a way that once I set the bow where it was supposed to be, mm-hmm. in my hand, and I did that, it gave me less room to, one, move any which way. Like, you get the bow up...
Well, it took the pivot also away from your wrist.
Right. And plus the fact that it didn't give me the option for my hands to naturally grip more on the bow,
mm-hmm.
because there is no gripping it. There is right. no, at that point, once your bow's up and you have your hand, it's basically resting in your hand. Mm-hmm. You don't have an option to re-grip the bow.
Right.
Like you can't move it. You can't. So, you know, I think that helped out a lot because at the end of our shooting, my one muscle going up, I don't know which one it is, but the one you usually feel when you've been shooting for a while,
yes.
holding the bow, it's starting to get sore, it locks up.
Mm-hmm.
And this might just be because I'm newer. I haven't
really built up. No, that happens to a lot of people.
So I didn't get that locking feeling in my arm at the end of... I know I was getting tired because right. obviously after, you know, X amount of time shooting, mm-hmm. you know, you can feel your body start getting tired. But I didn't feel the same. Usually my arm is starting to lock up.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you could see, like, when we're going to leave the range normally, you're, like, rubbing the muscle that would run from your elbow to your thumb.
You know what? I should use that word instead. Cramping instead of locking. Right. Because locking just seems too drastic.
Well, the thing I also think was that a lot of times you had that because you'd pull your trigger and immediately lock your arm.
Yeah, because you try to
adjust. You're not going to try and drop the bow. So...
Yeah, so I think that helped out, like, tons. I mean, we'll probably take a picture of what we're talking about and post it.
Yeah.
I will. Just to really show you, because I mean, honestly, this helped out a lot. I felt like I was able to, I could have shot more compared to my other grips with more accuracy, longer.
Good.
Whereas the other times, you know, as getting toward the end, my groups wouldn't have still been the way they were. They would have been more inaccurate. So I like it.
Good. Well, that's the idea of changing it. I just, yeah, we had no, to get you no, to a spot worked. Where I had to first break your habit of death gripping the bow.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying, though. That I honestly think if we thought of this beforehand, that would have done it for me, at least. Because it doesn't give me the option to go into that natural habit of trying to grip it harder.
Well, or
grip it tighter, so it's like, well, to change it's possible. But I mean, you know, it's whatever.
See, when you try to teach a person who's brand new at shooting, and you try to teach them that grip right off the bat, a lot of people, even though you tell them don't put any pressure from your fingertips on the riser, they're still trying to wiggle the riser back and forth.
Yeah, but your fingertips on there compared to your whole front of your hand with your fingers, is you're going to do less movement and less control of the bow compared to if you had a full grip around the front riser, is what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, sometimes teaching them those habits, even though they might be a little bit more tricky in your head to get, they're starting off clean slate.
Yeah, that is
so
true.
So instilling certain habits into people from the get-go is actually easier than teaching them one way and then having them change, because most of the time people have a harder time changing old habits because that's just your natural way that your body has gone into things. So you have to rewire your brain into doing it a different way.
Right. Well, that's true.
So sometimes it's, you know, it might seem complicated to one person, but to a clean slate, if that's all you know how to do it, and that's all you've been taught, then that's, you know, how your brain gets wired to do those things.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it depends on the teacher.
I'll keep that in mind next time I teach someone.
Yeah, well, you never know who you're going to run into.
No, I know.
But, you know, or it could be whoever's listening. You never know. It depends on the teacher, too. You know, it doesn't work for everyone. It's not going to. But personally, with me, it did. And, you know, it doesn't hurt to try it.
I think a lot of times, I don't know why, maybe it's just me, when I teach people or show them how to shoot or whichever way you want to refer to it, the biggest thing I have to fight with people is, like, making sure their arms are in the correct position. They're not leaning back. They're, you know, their posture is good. Their foot position's good. They're not, I mean, like this, I've had to like show, like literally take a picture of some people to show them that they're stuffing their shoulder into their neck. So, I mean.
I don't remember having any of those issues.
No, you really didn't. I told you like from the beginning. All right, feet like this. You know, shoulders, don't pull your shoulder in. You want to keep your body extended and stuff like that. You took all that, like your footing, your stance, your posture, everything was on point like the first time we were there.
But I wasn't totally oblivious to it either. Some people are completely oblivious to everything.
Some people just show interest and are like, oh.
Yeah, so it depends on the person.
Right.
You know, it depends.
Well, you're also a very athletic person.
Yeah, so. I mean, it's just, some people are just not coordinated to do any kind of physical anything. It's just not in their genetic makeup.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree.
So, but yeah, we'll definitely post a picture up of that one just to kind of give a visual of what we're talking about.
Yeah, and, I'm sure we, another good thing too is if, like, when it comes to grip position, there's a video, because we mentioned him last week, John Dudley, the guy from Knock on Archery.
Right.
He did a video in his backyard, it would probably be about a month ago, I believe, 5 weeks ago, something like that, where he goes into extent about the grip.
Yeah, if you look under his page, he'll go through, and he did a live segment, and he'll actually show you the palm of his hand, he'll draw the mark of the lifeline that we're talking about. and he drew a check mark and an X for which side is correct and which side to stay away from, that it's an incorrect pan placement.
Right.
And he is very, he's a very technical teacher. So he will go through and then he'll show you and it'll give you a really good visual aid of everything that we're referring to.
Yeah, so you know, with grip position, even you know, between John goes into actually showing people like physical demonstration, you'll see it in Cam's videos. It's every shot. It's
well, he teaches now.
Yeah, but John coaches people, yes.
Yeah, so if you look through his, you'll actually find his. Is it numbered?
No, it was just like a live stream he put, or like from probably 5 weeks ago now, or something like that.
Can you pull it up on YouTube? Can you?
Yeah, you can.
To your right. Yep.
Oh, that's right. I have that.
For everyone who's listening, we have our YouTube up, and he was looking for the remote. We're gonna see if we can real quick pull up the actual video, so it's a lot easier for you to reference. But he goes through a lot of incorrect hand placement, correct hand placement. He actually answers questions through.
Are actually texting him questions during the live stream, and he's answering questions. Well, it's under the
comments feed. The way the live thing is set up, that there's a comment section, and you can go in and actually, I guess, when they do their live feeds, put in your question. Okay, so.
Okay, it does show it was 1 month ago. It was done on August 16th.
So if you go into Knock on Archery and you look through the videos, and he usually puts the newest one first, obviously. If you scroll through them, it's actually not that far back. You'll see the actual heading is John Dudley Live Recording Coaching Archery August 16th. And that is the one we're referring to. You'll see a picture of him in a field that's actually his yard of his home.
His home.
And he will go through. It's good to watch. It's a little bit under an hour long. It's 55 minutes. Really good to watch.
Well, he also talks about like with different releases and whatnot, but there's a very large 15 minute segment.
It's not just an hour of hand placement. I don't think anyone could talk about hand placement for an hour.
No.
But that's in that video. That's a good one to watch. All of them are good, but what we're referring to, that's a good one to watch. Yeah, since we're
majorly on the topic of grip, this is to be the one to go watch specifically.
Yeah. So go check his thing out. It gives a lot of good visuals. Again, not affiliated.
Yeah, no. Not affiliated. No sponsors. Dude's just awesome.
Yeah.
That's why we mentioned him in the guys who we find inspiring and all that on YouTube and Facebook and whatnot.
But yeah, go check that one out, and we'll post the pictures of what we've been talking about to kind of reference. And you know, I think that's pretty much everything that we did at the range.
Yeah, pretty much. This week it was mainly a lot of focusing on you. I only shot like 6 rounds.
Yeah, because the most of the part was trying to tune mine in.
Yep. So, which is fine. I mean, like I said, I had to do my minor adjustments, had to move my 20-yard pin, I got everything recentered, got my 30 redone. So, but for my bow, it's very minimal adjustments until we get to somewhere where we can do past 30 yards, because we are restricted to 30 yards, because that's the distance that our indoor range has.
Oh, and a side note, we might switch out arrows, because mine have a tendency to get stuck in the block.
Oh, yes.
And for the life of me, I can't get the strength up to pull them out sometimes. And what are mine coated with? What are mine?
You have carbon arrows. Both of us have carbon arrows. But I wanted to. There's a good chance that I'm purposely going to switch both of us to like Easton FMJs. Just because they're aluminum, and aluminum coatings pull out of the compressed blocks much, much easier.
Because, man, trying to get those out sometimes is murder.
Well, plus, you know, I was also thinking about it a lot of ways when it comes to us switching arrows. I want us to have the arrows we're going to hunt with.
Well, yeah, that would be get-go. Smart.
So what I'm probably going to be looking into doing is, because I know how to get the bear shafts for the FMJs. I'm probably just going to, you know, me and you will figure whatever out we have to do. Order 2 full dozens of them. You know, 2 dozen of these quick spins. And
then fletch all of them ourselves.
Fletch them all. Cut them to length.
Not quick fletch, though. We have to get the...
Oh, you want to do the jig version?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
We can go through what we use and everything.
Okay, that's fine. I figured you just want to do the quick spins again.
No, we can... I'd like to be able to do everything.
Okay.
All aspects. All
right, so I guess I'm going to be doing that part, too.
So we'll be looking around for prices on that. We'll give a rundown of what we spent.
Well, these arrows are money. We're going to be spending $250 on arrows.
Okay, but I'm sure that, you know, whatever deals we find, we can share.
Absolutely.
So that'll be actually another one coming up. We'll go through a rundown of everything that we got, if we find any deals. I know, going full force into hunting season, though, things are not going to be at their cheapest. This is when all the prices get jacked up.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, right now, everything's full price because I believe, you know, our hunting season here...
starts September 1st.
So it started already.
No, I'm sorry. What am I thinking? It starts in our area October 1st.
Okay, October 1st.
And it runs through December 22nd.
Okay.
Yeah, it's more farther north from us. It started in September.
Yeah, I thought it was this week.
Early bow. No, early bow for... north is September 20 something.
Okay.
But then early bow for our area is October 1st and it runs through December 22nd. Cuz I was looking it up for our area.
Oh, nice.
But I know out Midwest.
Oh, PA's north, already started.
No. Like Midwest. West. Wild West. No. More west of us, it started. It's already been going on.
Oh, yeah. A lot of the hunting seasons have already started.
Yeah. But, so that's going to wrap it up unless you have anything else.
No, not really. Not unless I find any more products for the next episode or something like that. Right now,
Well, for this moment of minute.
No, right now, I'm pretty good for right now. I'm obviously going to touch base more on my stuff as it progresses here. Because, like I said, I'm kind of concerned about the wearing into the bar that my arrows are doing at the moment.
Yeah.
So, it may also be just the fact that it's a guillotine-style arrow rest, that it's a straight vertical drop, and it's not like yours or like the Trophy Taker or, you know, the NAP Apache that doesn't drop forward. This thing stays there until it decides to just drop down. Mm. Or you know, until the limb gets to the area to pull it down. So I have to see how this is going to work with mine. So there'll be definite updates on do I keep the C-Max or does it get chucked booted off my bow?
Yeah.
Either way, the next thing with my bow, just because I like limb drives, I'm going to be staying with the limb drive. So it's either going to be maybe if you like yours, I may... say screw it after, you know, we test yours for a little while longer. If that one works out great, I may just decide to get the same one. Or, you know, I may try the NAP Apache, or I may just say screw it and just get the Trophy Taker Smackdown Pro. But my stabilizer, I definitely like my Eclipse 3D stabilizer from High Tech. Does a pretty decent job on the absorption. But it is definitely 100% long enough to stabilize my bow. As for my sight, my Rival FX, I really like my sight. Does really good. Micro adjust works out perfectly fine for me and everything like that. But we got to see how she does it for the distance. Mm-hmm. So, but I'm pretty good.
Good.
All right.
So... until next time.
Yep, we're done, and hopefully we find some more interesting stuff to go through.
So this is Stephanie.
And I'm Anthony. See y'all next week.